All right, let's set a scene. Picture this. It's 2:47 p.m. on a Tuesday. You're in your office, let's say right in the heart of the Irvine Spectrum area, maybe overlooking the 405.
I know the spot.
Exactly. And the office is just doing its thing, you know, the hum of productivity, phones are ringing, keyboards are clacking. Maybe the sales team is celebrating a win. It's a good day. And then just silence.
The kind of silence that makes your stomach drop.
Yes. It's not just quiet, it's dead. The primary server just crashed, and it took everything with it. The CRM is just frozen, emails gone. The phone system, which, runs over the internet, it just cuts out mid-sentence.
Oh, that's brutal.
You walk out of your office and you see 50 people just staring at blank monitors or apologizing to dead air on their headsets.
And in a high-stakes business environment like that, that's not just an inconvenience. That is a full-on hemorrhage. The clock starts ticking, and it is ticking very, very loudly.
So panic sets in, right? You grab your cell because the landlines are out, and you call your IT provider, and you're thinking, it's okay, we have that premium contract. They promised the fastest response time in Orange County.
You remember the sales pitch, the 8-minute guarantee.
Vividly. So you send the emergency email, you mark it urgent, you make the call, and then you wait.
And let me guess what happens, maybe 3 or 4 minutes later.
Ding. I get a notification on my phone.
And it says, help is on the way.
No. It says, ticket number 48291 has been received. A technician will be assigned shortly.
That's it.
That is it. That is the famous 8-minute response.
And meanwhile, you look around your office.
Yeah.
Is the server back up?
Nope. Stone dead.
Are your sales reps closing deals?
No, they're in the break room checking Instagram because they literally can't do anything else.
Well, it's a nightmare scenario, but it's also the perfect setup for what we're unpacking today. We're
Rant.
looking at a really insightful guide from Technegean, an IT support firm based right there in Irvine. They titled it Beyond Response: The Realities of IT Resolution Time.
And our mission for this deep dive is, well, pretty specific. We're here to expose a bit of a magic trick that the IT industry often plays on businesses. It's this critical and very expensive difference between I heard you and I fixed it.
It sounds like it's just semantics, response versus resolution. But as we're about to see, that little distinction can cost a company thousands, maybe tens of thousands of dollars in a single afternoon.
So let's get into the weeds. We have this term response time. We see it on every service level agreement or SLA.
Right.
It's the big, bold number on the marketing brochure,
That's
right?
8-minute response, 15-minute guarantee.
Exactly. So why is this the standard if it's so misleading?
Well, to be blunt, because it's easy to measure. And frankly, it's very easy to manipulate. In the industry, we'd call that a vanity metric.
A vanity metric. So it's just for show.
Pretty much. Think about what response time actually means in a contract. It's strictly the duration between when you report an issue and when you get an acknowledgement.
Yeah.
And notice I didn't say a human acknowledgement.
Right. So if I email the help desk and some automated script just shoots back, thanks for your email, the clock stops for them.
Precisely. The provider has met their contractual obligation. They responded in 30 seconds. On their monthly report to you, that's going to look like a 100% success rate. All green check marks.
But for me, the client standing in a dead silent office, nothing has changed. My problem is still very much there.
It feels incredibly cynical, doesn't it? They basically gamified the system to look efficient while, doing nothing. Large providers, especially the big national ones, have spent years training businesses to focus on this number with chatbots and automated ticketing systems.
You mentioned a level one queue manager. What is that? Sounds like a fancy title for a receptionist.
That's effectively what it is. Their only job is to pick up the phone, take your name, say, I'm escalating this, and hang up. Their job isn't to fix anything. It's to stop that tire so the company doesn't get penalized.
Okay, so let's contrast that with the hero of our story, which seems to be resolution time.
This is the one. This is the metric that actually matters to your bottom line. Resolution time is the clock that runs from reporting the issue until a qualified technician actually fixes the problem and gets you back online.
And the gap between those two things, the response and the resolution, that's where all the pain is.
That's the gap. A provider can honestly and legally claim an 8-minute response while taking 4 hours to resolve the issue. And if you're a business in Newport Beach and you bought the service based on that 8-minute promise, you are going to be furious.
The guide uses this medical analogy that I thought was just perfect. It's like going to the ER with a broken leg.
Right. Let's play that out. You walk in, you're in agony, you get to the front desk, and the receptionist hands you a clipboard.
So technically, they've responded.
Immediately. But I don't need a clipboard. I need a doctor to set the bone.
Exactly. The doctor treating the injury, that's the resolution time. If you sit in the waiting room for 4 hours with a clipboard, the hospital's response time was amazing, but the care was non-existent, you're still in pain.
And in business, that pain translates directly to money. The source material references some Gartner research that threw out a number that, I mean, it honestly made my jaw drop.
The downtime cost.
Yes. The average cost of IT downtime is $5,600 per minute.
That is just a staggering figure. Now, obviously, that's going to vary. A small shop in Tustin might not lose that much, but a mid-sized law firm, a manufacturing plant, oh, easily.
But just think about the scale. Let's do the math on that gap we talked about. An 8-minute response, but a 4-hour resolution. That's 240 minutes.
Wow. Okay, even if we're conservative, let's say it's not over $5,000. Let's say it's $1,000 a minute for a mid-sized company. 240 minutes times 1,000.
That's almost $250,000.
Gone. In one afternoon. That's enough to wipe out quarterly profits for some businesses. And that's just the direct financial loss. The Technician Guide points out that that's just beginning.
It is. They list these secondary costs. Employee frustration was high on the list.
Which sounds a bit soft, but it's very real.
Oh, it's real. Think about the morale in that office we described. You have sales teams on commission. If the phones are down, they're not selling. If they're not selling, they're not paying their mortgage.
And if the system is constantly crashing, they lose faith in the company.
They start looking for other jobs. They go to the competitor whose systems actually work. Losing your best talent because your IT is slow, that is an incredibly expensive hidden cost.
And then there's reputation, especially, like you said, in a place like Orange County.
This is a crucial point the source makes about the local market. Orange County, Irvine, Newport Beach, it's a very high expectation environment. Clients here expect immediate concierge level service.
Yeah, if I'm a client in Newport Beach calling my financial advisor to make a trade and I can't get through, I'm not thinking, oh, poor them. I'm thinking, is my money safe with these people?
Precisely. You're questioning their competence.
Mm-hmm.
And in these markets, clients can go somewhere else very, very easily. The source even mentions industries like healthcare, finance, and legal. These aren't just businesses. They have heavy compliance rules.
Right, the liability angle.
It's huge. A law firm missing a court filing deadline because the internet is down. That's not an oops. That's malpractice territory. A clinic that can't access patient records. That's a hype and a nightmare waiting to happen.
And the source also touches on the sheer cost of doing business in Orange County, the real estate.
It does. I mean, rent in the Irvine Spectrum is not cheap. High operating costs mean you have thinner margins for error. You literally cannot afford to pay your staff to sit and stare at blank monitors in a building that costs a fortune.
So we've established the response time promise is often a trap, and the costs are massive. What's the alternative? The source material outlines what good support actually looks like, and it starts with something that sounds almost old-fashioned.
Immediate human contact.
It sounds so simple.
It does, doesn't it? But in this day and age, it's becoming a luxury. The source argues that when a system fails, you need to talk to a troubleshooter immediately. Not a queue manager, not a robot, a troubleshooter.
What's the practical difference?
The difference is triage versus treatment. A queue manager just puts you in a line. A troubleshooter asks, okay, what error message are you seeing? And starts fixing it right then and there. That's the difference between a 15-minute fix and a 4-hour ordeal.
So you skip the waiting room, you go straight to the doctor.
Exactly. And another key point they raised was knowledge retention. This idea that the person answering the phone shouldn't just be a tech, they should be your tech.
Oh, that's huge.
It's massive and often overlooked. If you call a national call center, that person doesn't know you. They don't know your network. They don't know you use some specific legacy software for accounting. It's really temperamental.
They're just reading off a generic script. Have you tried turning it off and on again?
Exactly. They have to spend the first half hour just learning your environment. A quality provider already has that documented. They know your setup. They skip the learning curve and go straight to the fixing curve.
Okay, here's one I found really interesting, especially today. Local presence. Does it really matter if my IT guy is in Irvine or in some call center in Idaho?
It matters when the problem is physical.
Ah, right. We forget the cloud actually lives on hardware somewhere.
We do.
Yeah.
Sure, most things can be fixed remotely. But what if a server power supply blows? Or a firewall unit fails, a rat chews through a fiber cable. You can't remote desktop into a piece of melted plastic. You need someone who can get in a car and drive to your office in Tustin or Lake Forest.
And if your provider is out of state, They're just dispatching some third-party contractor who might show up tomorrow.
Exactly. If they're local, they can be there in 30 minutes. That makes a massive difference in your resolution time.
There's one more layer to this that the source mentions, and it's a bit of a paradox. They say the best response time is no response time at all.
Proactive versus reactive. This is the big shift from break-fix to managed services.
Talk to me about that.
The old model was break-fix. You wait for it to break, then you pay someone to fix it. This actually creates an incentive where the IT provider only makes money when you're in pain.
Right.
The modern model, what Technigian advocates here, is continuous monitoring. They're watching the server vitals before it crashes.
Looking for the smoke before there's a fire.
Exactly. They see a hard drive is 99% full or that the server temperature is spiking at 2 in the morning. They remote in, they fix it then. You come into the office at 8 a.m. and everything just works. You never even had to make the call.
I love that. It's like having a mechanic who sneaks into your garage at night and changes your oil so you never break down.
Ideally, yeah. That's the gold standard. You're not paying for the fix, you're paying for the uptime.
Okay, let's get practical. For the listener who's sitting there thinking, oh no, do I have a response time contract? How do they vet this? The source gives a great checklist.
It does, and it's very practical. First thing, ask for resolution statistics.
Don't let them dazzle you with the we answer in 30 seconds stat.
Right. Ask them, what's your average time to resolve a critical server issue? If they stumble on that question or say they don't track it, that is a massive red flag.
Okay, what's next?
Ask about the escalation process. When I call, who do I talk to? If the answer is an intake coordinator, be wary. You want the answer to be a level 2 technician.
The person who can actually fix the problem and the local piece.
Ask specifically. If my hardware fails, how long will it take a human to be standing in my server room? If you're in Costa Mesa, you want someone who can say, we can be there in 45 minutes.
The source also mentions asking about client retention rates. Why is that a good indicator?
Because marketing gets a client in the door. Resolution keeps them there. High turnover means they make great promises, but deliver poor support. I mean, Nijian mentions they've been serving the area since 2000. You don't last 25 years in tech in Orange County by failing to solve problems.
That's a great point. Long-term relationships mean promises are being kept.
And finally, ask to see their proactive monitoring tools. Ask, show me how you prevent downtime, not just how you react to it.
It seems like the core message is shifting your whole mindset from how fast do they answer to how fast do I get back to work.
That is it in a nutshell.
It's funny because as we talk, I'm realizing how many things we buy based on the wrong metrics. We buy internet based on download speed, not uptime.
Exactly. And in IT, we've been conditioned to buy response time because it feels like good service. It feels attentive. Mm-hmm. But attentiveness without action is just polite incompetence.
Polite incompetence. I'm stealing that. That is brilliant.
Please do. But think about those industries we mentioned. Defense contractors, financial firms. Security is another huge aspect. A rushed response often leads to bad security.
How so?
Well, if a technician is just pressured to close the ticket, they'll apply a band-aid fix. Let's say a firewall is blocking an app. The quick fix is to just open a massive port to let all the traffic through.
Okay, it works now. Ticket closed.
Right. You're back online. But you've just left the back door wide open for hackers. You traded security for a speed metric. A resolution-focused approach takes the time to create a specific, secure rule. It takes longer, but it's the right way to do it.
So rushing can actually be more dangerous.
In the long run, absolutely. But the goal of a good firm is to offer speed and competence. You don't have to choose between fast and good if fast means the resolution, not just the greeting.
Which brings us back to the Technigian example. It seems they've built their whole model around this principle.
They have. They focus on the outcome. And for a business owner, the outcome is the only thing that pays the bills.
So as we wrap this up, the big takeaway for a business owner in Orange County, or really anywhere, is don't get dazzled by the 8-minute promise.
Don't fall for it. Go back to your office, pull out your contract, and look at that SLA. Does it guarantee a fix or just a reply? The only clock that matters is the one ticking until your business is operational again.
And if you're currently staring at a ticket number while your whole company is down, maybe it's time to make a call.
Absolutely.
I want to leave our listener with one final thought. We live in a world of increasing automation, right? AI chatbots, automated phone trees. We are systematically removing humans from the loop to save money.
It's everywhere. Efficiency over interaction.
So is the human element That ability to call a number and get a smart, capable person on the other end immediately, is that becoming the ultimate luxury good in business support?
That is a fascinating question.
Yeah.
I think you're right. In a digital world, direct human access is the premium tier we used to pay for the technology. Now I think we're increasingly paying for the human who understands the technology.
That's a powerful thought. You're not paying for the software. You're paying for the sanity of knowing someone has your back.
And that they can drive to your office and fix it.
Exactly. Well, that wraps up this deep dive into the realities of IT resolution time. Hopefully your servers stay up, but if they go down, make sure you know who you're calling.
And make sure they actually answer.
Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll catch you on the next one.